Time to go!
This is Buccaneers Total Access, with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannons!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left, goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston!
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips, and head coach Dirk Cotter.
What's going on, Tampa Bay? Welcome in this Friday afternoon, everyone's favorite time of the week. Hope everyone's work week was good and you're off, getting ready to have a fun, awesome weekend that includes watching that Bucs game Sunday. Hope everyone's coming out to Raymond James Stadium for it. To get you ready for that game, we've got head coach Dirk Cotter here with us for an entire hour, which means we can get to all of your questions. You can send them in on Twitter, use that hashtag Bucs Radio. You can also do it under the feature section of our Bucs app. And here are your phone numbers one time real quick. We have Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. Coach, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, Casey.
All right, let's dive right into it here. We got a question from Sam. He wants to know, will your running back carries and the way you divvy them up be more about our running backs or the Lions' defense?
Well, yeah, more about our running backs, for sure.
Awesome. All right, Tony wants to know, why would an O-line be good at either pass or run blocking in a game? It seems like it would always be both or neither.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good question. I mean, you know, every player, offensive or defense, has strengths or weakness. So I would say it could vary week to week based on, you know, who you're playing against and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And then when you have to start different combinations of linemen, sometimes it takes a little bit of a knack, like passing off games and in pass protection and stuff like that. It takes a little bit of time for them to learn to work together on that, to learn to work with each other. But I think the main thing would just be dealing with who you're playing against, what their strengths and weaknesses are as well. Some guys are really good at stopping the run, and then there's obviously some great pass rushers in this league.
And Adam says, how come we don't see a bootleg from Jameis inside the 5-yard line anymore? One rushing touchdown in two seasons seems too low for a player like him.
because when you do something, you know, teams tend to cover it. And, we look at the tapes every week of what our opponents do. And a couple years ago, that was a play that was kind of sweeping the NFL. And I think defenses have caught up to it a little bit. I mean, when the teams we played this year, nobody's been scoring too many touchdowns on bootlegs on them. So without getting too much more into it, that's my short version.
All right, the short version. There we go. Jay says, when players miss time because of injury, do different types of injuries make you change your expectations of how they could play when they return or how you might use them?
Another good question. Once they're cleared medically to play, you expect them to come back and play at 100%. But depending on what the injury was and how long of a layoff they had, you know, sometimes it can take, say, a game or a half or at least a quarter or so to readjust to game speed, because game speed and practice speed are different. But it's not a one-size-fits-all answer there.
All right, we've got a caller in here already. We got Pat from Tampa. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Coach. Hey, a quick question. I always wondered, what does a captain do on the team as far as player captain?
Well, what a captain does on our team is that's who you encourage the other players if they have issues, complaints, issues with the coaches, they don't like how something's being done, that they work through their captains. And, you know, we always say if you have an issue, go to somebody who can do something about it. And if a player, you know, obviously they can come, a player can come to me at any time, but a lot of times a player would feel more comfortable going through their captains. The captains also are kind of on the lookout for issues that could be brewing inside the locker room that the coaches may not know about. And, you know, then, you know, the captains just kind of act as an overall spokesperson for the players.
All right, we got a question from Justin here. He says, if you had only one thing that you could go back and change from this season, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a hard one. You know, I don't normally think like that, but, I mean, heck, if I don't know, Casey. I'd have to... whatever I say, if I don't think that one through, I'll probably get myself in trouble. So I better take a pass on that one.
You sound like a man that's been married for a while.
Can I phone a friend?
Phone a friend. I like that. We can just pretend we're Who Wants to Be a Millionaire here. Maybe poll the audience, phone a friend, things like that. I like it. Yes, we can. How about we think about that and we can try to answer that either later in the show or another show. I'll bring it back to you another week maybe. Chris wants to know, do you think the media or the fans ask better questions?
Oh, fans, by far.
I love it. The poor media that are listening right now.
Casey, are you media or fans?
I think that I would be about 50% of each. I think that's how it works when you work for a team, you know? Does that sound like a good politician head coach answer to you?
Yeah.
Been learning from you.
Politician. If I was a good politician, we wouldn't be having this show. I think both ask good questions but I think overall the fans, because I think the fans only ask questions that they have. I think sometimes media has a tendency to ask questions that they heard somewhere else.
That's interesting. I like that, the organic nature of it. Okay, our next one comes from Devin. He says, if and when you have all running backs healthy on the team, what's the ideal situation for how you use each of them in a game and why?
Another excellent question. I think ideally in the NFL, you would use three running backs and your fourth running back would primarily be a special teams player. But that fourth running back would be there in case somebody else got hurt. But he'd also, because running backs are usually, you know, really good athletes and part linebacker. So I think you'd have your feature back, you'd have your change of pace back, and you'd have your third down back. And your feature back was the one that you wanted to get 20 touches a game. Your change of pace back would be a back that complemented him based on what your number one guy's strengths were. Your change of pace back would either be a scat back if your number one guy was a power back, or your number two guy would be a power back if your number one guy was a scat back. And then your third down back would be an excellent receiver, good on screens, and a great pass protector.
We're talking to head coach Dirk Koetter here on Buccaneers Radio. I'm excited to hear your answer for this one. Dennis wants to know, does your wife or any other family member critique your play calling and or offer plays to run?
It's happened before. Not so much offering plays, but years ago, my wife asked me one time why we ran up the middle so much. that was a few years back, and needless to say, she didn't get anything for Christmas that year.
I mean, I'm just impressed that y'all are still married, you know? She questions the play calling. That seems like a deal breaker right there. That's pretty great. I like that. All right, Fred wants to know, why are only 46 players available on game day, and would you change that if you could?
Yeah, why is just because that's the rule. And, you know, there's been a push in recent years that if you had on your 53 guys that you'd be able to have all your guys up, or if you had certain guys out that you could bring guys up from your practice squad. And I think all the players and coaches would vote for that. But yeah, I'm not really sure where that all originated from, but that's just, as long as I've been in the NFL, that's just been the rule.
All right, and Simba wants to know, what would you say are the best bright spots on the team so far this year?
I would say the linebacker has been a bright spot, and tight end has been a bright spot. I would say those have been probably our two most consistent positions this season.
Okay. And then we actually have a fan from Switzerland. This is pretty cool. And he wants to know, do you believe that teams ever try to lose on purpose for a draft pick, or is that just a thing that fans tend to say that they want or think happens?
I've never seen that. I've never seen that personally. So, I've never seen that. And I would be disappointed if I was ever on a team that did that. But so to my knowledge, no. But I can only speak from my own experience.
All right. We still have a ton of time left here with head coach Dirk Koetter. You can get all of your questions in for him. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app. Or I'll give you those phone numbers one more time. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications, now continues with head coach Dirk Koetter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Radio on this Friday afternoon. This is the show that is all about you getting to send in your questions for head coach Dirk Koetter. You can do it on Twitter, hashtag BucksRadio. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. All right, coach, we got a caller here. We have Jim in Sarasota. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, coach. I really think you're doing a great job. I know it's been a tough year, but I'm an admitted Jameis Homer. I mean, I watch him at Florida State, and not just the national championship year, but the second year and last year he was there. I saw him take a beating, and he kept getting up and willing his team to win. So I'm very hopeful that he continues to grow. Now, this year he had some goals to improve his completion percentage, lower the turnovers, and things of that nature. And I felt in the first four games when he was healthy that – materialized. I mean, he only after four games only had one game with any turnovers against Minnesota. A lot of quarterbacks are going through trouble with them. And then it seemed that after that game in the first quarter of the Arizona game, when he got hurt, his accuracy was worse than I've seen. So my question is, do you believe, as I do, that his accuracy was affected because of the injury, and that you see Jameis as being a big part of the future of the Bucks? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, Jim, obviously you've followed Jameis closely, and I do think that Jameis's accuracy was affected by the injury, because let's face it, his injury was to his throwing shoulder. Jameis is an unbelievably tough player physically, and a tough competitor, and a lot of quarterbacks in this league, you know, play through injuries. Stafford, the guy that we're playing against this week in Detroit, is a good example. Ben Roethlisberger, that's what quarterbacks do. And we were pretty fortunate the first 2 years that Jameis was able to make it through and play all the snaps. But anytime you're dealing with a shoulder injury, of course, you can teach yourself how to adjust your motion a little bit, and change your timing up so that you can continue to play. But I do think that has had an effect on Jameis this year. To what degree, no one will ever be able to know that 100% for sure. Maybe Jameis, but outside of that, nobody else. I mean, God knows we've had tons of MRIs and doctors and multiple opinions, and they've all done a fantastic job. But, the bottom line is players have to play injured in this league, or do play injured in this league all the time, different degrees of injury. And, you know, to the last part of your statement slash question there, absolutely, I think Jameis will be a big part of the Bucs franchise for many years to come. And I've said many times this week, Matthew Stafford is a good guy for our fans to point to. Matthew Stafford, number one pick in the draft out of University of Georgia, you know, had a couple rough years early on at Detroit, and you know, people were kind of wondering about his future. And although he's going to be playing somewhat hurt on Sunday, anybody that's looked at the tape this year, this guy is playing at an extremely high level. And you know, I think he's the highest paid player in the league right now, if I'm not mistaken. And I really think that I've said it many times this year. We got to remember, Jameis is only 23 years old, and the top quarterbacks in this league have a lot of experience on them.
All right, we've got another caller on the line. We have Aubrey from Seminole. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, got a question about our starts. You know, obviously we've been starting out real slow, not only just this year, but in the past years when we've suffered some big losses, it's usually because we start out real slow and we're behind the gun real fast in the game. Now, speed up to this year. What, if anything, has been done differently in your practice, routine, regimen, drills, anything as far as practice and during the week preparing for the games that would be different that you guys did this year as opposed to the other years, and maybe not only just from the beginning of this year as to what you're doing right now to try and speed it up? Because last week we started out great. If anything, just try and, you know, basically a question on what you guys may have done different, if anything at all, to your preparation week.
Yeah, well, we did start off fast last week. We had a really nice drive and went right down, and Jameis hit Cam on a nice touchdown pass. You know, we have a practice philosophy that I believe is a tried and true philosophy of how you practice, the order in which you practice. You know, it's been game tested, NFL tested for many years, the order in which you do it and the number of plays that you run and when you practice special teams and when you work on the run game, et cetera. One thing we do is early on in every practice, we have a little no huddle period, both offense and defense, where we come out and work on our no huddle just for a few minutes, kind of as a tempo setter to try to get the guys to be thinking about fast starts and playing fast. But you know, but directly to answer your question, we really haven't changed that much. I mean, we have what we believe in, and I think you got to have a system and you got to stick to it.
All right, our next question comes from Isaiah. What are the biggest challenges for you as a head coach of making last-minute changes to lineups because of health issues like what happened with Joe Hawley?
Yeah, well, I mean, the last-minute changes, once you know what the issues are, the changes are just that you know as a coach when you're shuffling stuff around at the last minute, it's not that, I mean, you know what you have to do, it's just, you also know that you haven't been practicing with those guys in that position, in those positions all week. And all of a sudden when, you know, player A becomes a starter and player B becomes a backup, that also has a trickle-down effect to your special teams. So that's why you have to cross-train your guys on offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, I trust all of our players. They're all pros. They're all here because they're elite football players. But, you know, you would also, in a perfect world, you'd like to go in feeling like on Sundays, on game day, that you're gonna go out there with the lineup that you've been practicing with all week.
We're talking to head coach Dirk Cutter here on the Buccaneers Radio. Bill wants to know, the defense has a big difference in performance at home versus on the road. Usually it seems like the offense would be the one that is affected the most because of noise. Why is it the other way around for this team?
Yeah, I've been asked that a couple times this week, and the offense is affected by the noise. It is tough on the noise, but, you know, for whatever reason, you know, this year our defense hasn't played as well on the road. It was just the opposite last year. Our defense Our defense really got hot and played well at San Francisco, at San Diego, at Kansas City last year, and just hasn't worked out the same this year. Without making excuses for it, I can't really explain it. It's just something that we've got to do better at.
All right. Kyle said, I heard Quan say this week that maybe the defense is having more fun at home than on the road, and they need to take the fun with them. Do you think that teams need to be having fun to play well, and is there a way that you can help with that?
Well, winning is more fun than losing, that's for sure. So, you know, that's that kind of thing that Quan said right there, that's been around for a long time. You know, like, don't overthink it. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Just go out there and have fun. Play football for the way you were playing since you started playing when you were a little kid. But there's definitely something to that. There's no doubt. But at the same time, when things aren't going your way and you fall behind, and this is just in general, not just our team, but any team, you know, it isn't quite as fun. So, you know, saying we're going to go out there and have fun is a excellent objective going into the game. It just doesn't always work that way.
David said, if there was one thing about the team or game plan that would go exactly as you wanted it to on Sunday, what would you pick that would have the biggest effect on how the team plays?
Well, from a game plan standpoint, obviously finishing drives with touchdowns in the red zone, you know, that's going to give you a good chance to win. And winning the turnover battle, that's going to give you a good chance to win. But as far as, you know, something that's just hurt us this season is we've moved the ball pretty successfully in the field, and then we've either had to settle for field goals or earlier in the year maybe we didn't get points. But, you know, the teams that are doing well are finishing with touchdowns and, you know, getting 7 points.
Adam says, what is the most important aspect of a game in terms of deciding the outcome, which sounds kind of similar to what you just answered there? Would you have gone with maybe the red zone, or would you go with the turnover battle?
Oh, turnovers are always number one. Winning the turnover battle, always number one. Explosive plays, number two.
All right. That's interesting, the explosive plays part. Don said, what are your long-term hopes for Anthony Auclair?
Yeah, I think Anthony's going to develop into a real solid NFL tight end. He's a Y tight end by trade, which is the same position that O.J. Howard plays. But those guys are very hard to find. And, you know, our scouts identified Anthony early. We watched him, you know, over in practice at St. Pete at the All-Star game last year. And fortunate to get him as a free agent, and I think he's just going to be a real solid Y-type tight end that can both block and catch and help you on special teams.
Mark wants to know, how was play calling different in college as compared to the pros?
The main reason is the clock, you know, where the clock stops on every first down, and then the hash marks. The college hash marks make it much tougher for the defense to disguise coverage. That's why you see in those college games on TV, you know, they'll get in a formation, they'll go up to the line, and they'll give a double cadence. The coaches from the press box or the sideline can see the coverage, see the front and coverage, and then they'll make a play call. In the NFL, with the close hash marks, those safeties are so good at holding their disguise till the last second that just makes that almost impossible. And, you know, you just see so many more variations of coverage in the NFL. You know, the players are better, and, you know, but it still comes down to the hash marks and the clock are the main differences.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, Anthony said, how do you think Bobo Wilson did in his first NFL game?
I think he did fine, and, you know, anxious to see him get more experience.
Noah's...
We talked about this last week. You know, Bobo has improved a ton this year. He plays hard. He's explosive. You know, he's learning how to be a pro. He's learning to make the adjustment to pro football. But I think Bobo's got a chance to really be a good player and make some big plays down the line, because he's definitely talented.
That's awesome. Okay, Noah said, it seemed like Hargraves was making some real progress and being more aggressive. Are you worried that this injury and timeout will hinder him?
Well, sure. I mean, he's missed quite a bit of time. I mean, I think we're going on 4 weeks. So, you know, Vernon's had an up and down season and now an injury plagued season. Hopefully he gets back soon. You know, we're not going to have him this week. So there'll be three games left and, love to have him back for those last three games. Hamstrings are, tricky, you know, hamstrings are tricky and, hopefully we get him back soon. We need him.
For sure. Nicholas said, earlier you mentioned that you don't like having to vote for the Pro Bowl when you're only familiar with guys you've gone against. How would you change the way voting happens? Would it maybe just be voting for your own guys on your team and whether or not you thought they deserved it?
No, how I'd change it is I wouldn't have coaches voting. I mean, they just got to decide what they want the Pro Bowl to be. If it's going to be just a popularity contest among the fans, that's fine. To be honest with you, Casey, I don't even know how they weight the different votes between the fans' votes, the coaches' votes, and the players' votes. I think the players probably have the best idea, but even the players, they don't see everybody. I just think it's going to be difficult because it seems to me like there's some players that once they've been to a couple Pro Bowls, they sometimes get reelected year after year, even if there might be a newer, younger player at their position that's playing better, but he just doesn't have the reputation. And I don't have any data to back that up, so please don't call Commissioner Goodell up and say that I said it. I'm just giving you my opinion. And I think the Pro Bowl is a great honor for those guys that get it, but I don't know. I'm not spending any of my time thinking about how to revamp the voting.
Yeah, it seems like you have a few other things on your mind potentially. Okay, Ross says, how helpful has the indoor facility been even compared to what you expected, and have there been uses for it that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I think the Bucks front office in general, I mean, the business side, I think they've found some uses for it, and it's fantastic. I mean, today is a perfect example. Today was a nice day, but the wind, if you have wind gusts over 25 miles an hour, our filmers for practice can't go up on their lifts. They film, you know, sideline shots and end zone shots from cameras up on a lift. And today it was too windy. So if we wouldn't have had the indoor, we would have either had to, A, practice without film, which, of course, coaches hate that. We want to watch every single thing. Or, B, that happened once to us last year, and we had to go over to the stadium to practice because, obviously, with all the concrete over there, you can film from the concrete. But, you know, they don't like us practicing at the stadium. I mean, that just tears the game field up. So, the wind kicked up today. We moved inside. And that's just one example. It's a fantastic facility, top of the line.
Love it. All right. Joseph said, the Lions seem to run a defensive scheme similar to ours. Is that helpful for prepping?
Well, the Lions front is an over-based front, meaning they play a three technique to the tight end side and a nose or one technique to the open side. That's kind of where the similarities end. Coverage-wise, I don't really think they are like us, but I think it always helps a little bit in practice when the fronts are the same because it helps your scout team get lined up a little. But, you know, other than that, not that much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're at about the halfway point of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. You still have plenty of time to get those questions in for him. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. Submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in here, everybody, to Buccaneers Radio with head coach Dirk Cutter, and we still have plenty of time for you to get your questions in. Use that hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter or the feature section of the Bucs app, or give us a call. We have our next caller on the line, Scott from Dunedin. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Coach. I was wondering why we don't blitz more. It seems like we do so much better, and if we don't blitz, they get the first downs anyways. What's up?
Okay, that cut out on me a little bit there, Casey. You're going to have to help me out.
Yeah, I think he was basically asking about why the team doesn't blitz more and if you think we should.
Well, we blitz about 30% of the time is what we blitz. So as far as our success rate or efficiency rate, we have been a little bit higher when we blitz. There's a risk-reward involved in that, and you know, like I said, 30% is probably more than most people would guess. So, you know, I think that's about right based on if you were blitzing every play, you know, obviously the quarterbacks in this league, the offensive coordinators in this league, you know, they would dial into that and they would max protect more and keep more blockers in, and then that creates another set of problems. So, you know, for every action, there's a reaction. But, you know, I think most fans would be surprised that we bring five or more about 30% of the time.
Kevin said, do you remain confident in Doug Martin's ability to lead the backfield?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, Peyton showed last week that he's an emerging back. And, you know, we still feel good about Jacquizz and Charles Sims as well.
Jefferson said, have you ever had to shut a player down just to save them from themselves when mathematically the season is over?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what save them from themselves means.
Yeah, I would guess he's talking about something along the lines of being concerned about potential injury. I mean, that's one way you could take it. I don't know exactly which one he meant.
Yeah, well, anything to do with injuries, those are medical decisions decided by, you know, by our medical staff. Again, when these guys are paid and under contract to play football, you know, and if they're deemed healthy enough to play by our medical staff, then they play. And, you know, has there ever been a case where a guy has been injured to the point where the medical staff said, you know, they might be talking to the coach and the GM and saying, hey, I don't think this guy should play anymore this year. But, you know, that's not, you know, any of our guys that are on our 53-man roster right now, that's not the case.
I like this one. I'll be interested to hear your answer. We got a Twitter question asking, best visitor locker room and worst visitor locker room in the NFL?
Oh, geez. You guys come up with some good ones that I don't think about. You know, best, Dallas. Dallas is way up there. The new Atlanta one, it was also very nice when we were there a couple weeks ago. Worst. Geez. I'd have to think about that one for a while.
Is Oakland maybe one of the options?
You know, Oakland is the only place of the 32 teams that since I've been in the NFL, I haven't been there.
Really?
That's the only one.
But then, yeah, that's pretty crazy. Well, we'll see if that would have been one of the worst options, maybe. I don't know. That's kind of crazy. I just assumed you'd been to all of them at some point in your career. That's crazy the way the scheduling works.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to some of them enough times that they've had more than one stadium.
Yeah.
Like Atlanta now. Minnesota is another example of that. But never been to Oakland.
That's really interesting. Okay, Wesley wants to know, do you consider Matthew Stafford a top 5 or top 10 QB in the league? And if so, why?
Top 10, definitely. And, you know, it's hard to say top 5 because, you know, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. And I just believe that's how most most quarterbacks are judged, and there's enough quarterbacks still playing that have that. That top five is pretty rare company, but top 10, I think so. Cannon for an arm, very quick release, knows where to go with the football. You know, he in his career, when he was the first overall pick, so much like Jameis, when you're the first overall pick, that usually means you're not going to a top-level team at the time. That's why they had the first pick. Okay, I'm not saying anything bad about the Bucs, but normally when a team has the first pick, they have the first pick for a reason. And so, you know, it sometimes takes some time for those guys to build up. There's been other quarterbacks who have gone as the first pick, and, you know, they've never been able to, you know, to get their teams to that level where they were contenders. And I think Matthew Stafford has done that, and I think when you talk to people around the league and then you see him play and know the respect people have for what he can do, you know, I think he's definitely right around that top 10 level.
And Daryl wants to know if you see Marvin Jones or Golden Tate as more dangerous and why.
Well, they're both dangerous in different ways. Marvin Jones is their down-the-field guy, and he's averaging 17 yards a catch. Well, by our definition, 16 yards is an explosive, so he's averaging explosive every time he catches it. So I would say he is very dangerous. Golden Tate gets more opportunities, and the danger with him is you better tackle him. You know, you better be sure on your tackling because he leads the NFL in yards after the catch. He's, you know, he's like he used to be their return man. He's not their return man this year, but he's like a punt returner, you know, a top flight punt returner catching these passes and then becoming a runner afterwards.
Roman said their tight end Ebron seems like a struggle for a lot of teams' linebackers, but is this where our linebackers give you more confidence, or will he still be a struggle even for our athletic guys?
Well, he's trouble for any linebacker, but you know, our linebackers are up there in the upper echelon of athletic guys, so that's a plus. But he's almost like a wide receiver playing tight end, and you know, when they split him out, he runs like a wideout. He's just bigger.
Nate says, "How is it harder to defend an offense like the Lions that likes to throw to running backs?"
Well, it's harder because if you just drop back into deep zone coverage all day, they look at those passes to their running backs as running plays, and if they just catch them alone, it's usually a 4-yard gain plus whatever they run for. So the more and then if you suck up on their running backs, then they've got, you know, they've got the three wide receivers and the dangerous tight end down the field. So, you know, anytime you can eliminate one of the five eligible receivers or two of the five eligible receivers, that's a plus. But you can't do that with Detroit.
Hal said, when quarterbacks have an injury like a hand that could affect their throwing, is it smart for the secondary and defense as a whole to play more aggressive, or do you just wait and hope that the mistakes come to the team anyway?
I think that depends on the injury, and, you know, we won't know that until we see Stafford in warm-ups and see him early in the game. You know, usually if a guy's hurt to the point that he can't throw the ball at least a 90-plus percent of his normal self, they probably wouldn't start him. And, you know, I know he didn't throw in practice on Wednesday. Sounds like he threw a little bit yesterday in practice and then a little bit more. You know, you got to remember, these guys, you know, Matthew Stafford, I believe, in his eighth year now. I mean, these guys are the best in the world at what they do. So, you know, they figure out ways, even if he has to have, I think they said he was throwing with two fingers, his pinky finger and his ring finger taped together. I mean, these guys figure it out. There's been plenty of examples of that, you know, throughout the years.
All right. Julius said Detroit doesn't throw many interceptions, but opponents seem to score off of them a lot. Why is that, and how do we get better at capitalizing on other teams' mistakes in general?
Well, why, I do not know the answer to that. That is something I do not know the answer to. And as far as the capitalize, I think we are in the top six or seven in the league at scoring off of turnovers. So, I think that's one of the things. Our defense the last 2 years has done a good job of taking the ball away. And when they do, for the most part, could have really helped us last week when Justin Evans got that interception, and we had the lead there in the second quarter, and that's one that we didn't capitalize on. But I think if you look at the overall numbers, that's one thing we've actually been okay at.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with one more segment here with head coach Dirk Koetter. Still time for you to get your questions in for him. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. Submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter now continues. Brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucks coverage.
We're back here, one final segment with head coach Dirk Koetter. Still a few minutes here for you to get your questions in. Hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter, feature section of the Bucks app, or give us a call. All right, Isaac wants to know, is this Levante's best year so far, and if so, why?
Well, I'm not sure about his best, but it's the best in the 3 years that I've been here, and I just think he's playing at a high level every single week. He's probably our most consistent player. I think Levante's only had one game this year where he hasn't just been, out of sight.
That's awesome. And Kyle says, what has been the key to Justin Evans' improvement throughout the season?
Experience. Rookie, and he got off to a very slow start because he missed almost all of OTAs and the off-season program. He was hurt early on in fall camp, and I think he's just been getting better and better, and I think he's got a very bright future.
Awesome. Justin said, was Cam Brate's success last game due to Jameis being back and their chemistry, or more of what the Packers did?
Both, I would say. Both. On the play, on that first touchdown play, that was actually a play designed to go to Mike, Evans. We were in 3-by-1 set. Mike was the single receiver, and they played what we call two deep man under, so the middle of the field was open, and Jameis read the coverage, and Cam did a great job of, they were in dime, so he had a DB covering him, and Cam made a little double move on him down the middle. That's just one of those ones where Cam wasn't really the number one receiver on that, but Jameis and Cam made it work.
Sheldon said, did you find yourself stopping to take in Lambeau before the game?
Well, not really, because I've been there a few times before, but it is a cool place, and I think for people that's their first time there, I definitely think there's something to that. But, in my case, I'm already past that, so I didn't do it this time, no.
All right. Martel says, I know you want to be contending for playoffs, but if the team is out of it, do you want to play spoiler for other teams late in the year, and does that add motivation for the guys?
It could. I just want us to play up to our capabilities. No matter what your injury situation is, this is still, everybody out there is still a pro football player, and I just want us to play as close to our ability as we possibly can this last month of the season, and that obviously starts Sunday against Detroit.
Brett said, how often do you consult with other coaches outside of the Bucks?
A little bit in the off season, in season, you don't do that. But occasionally you'll talk to a coach outside your division who you don't play this season, and talk to them about a common opponent that you had. Now I know there's other guys that talk to certain guys in the league every week. In my case, there's a couple teams that I like to watch on tape, and I'll watch them, and then if I have any questions about what they did on offense and why they did it, you know, if I have a good enough relationship with him, I might call him and ask him about that. But you just don't have the time to do too much talking to anybody.
Robin said, why is it necessary for football to have so many coaches on a staff as compared to some of the other sports?
Boy, Robin needs to turn on college basketball and look at the ratio of coach to player in basketball. I think football's a lot lower than basketball, but I mean, every group has a position coach, O-line, D-line, running backs, tight ends, that heads up that group, and then they have a coordinator. That's just kind of the way it's been structured. But I don't think football's much different. I mean, football's got the most players compared to other sports, so they therefore have the most coaches. But I think ratio-wise, it's probably pretty similar.
All right, we've got a little less than a minute left here. Cyrus said, were you excited for Auclair getting his first catch, and do you tend to notice milestones like that for a player that you want to help them get?
I do notice, and I was excited. As far as me helping him, I had nothing to do with helping him. I mean, that was just where Jameis should have gone with the ball on that play, and he did. And Anthony had good awareness. He was the check down on that play. He settled in the zone, and I did recognize right away, say, hey, there's Anthony's first catch, and hopefully the first of many.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Coach, thanks as always for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for spending time with us here on this Friday afternoon. Hope to see all of you out there at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter has been brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team. This is Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.